When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, The Fight is Right. Podcast with myself, Spencer Lloyd Ferron. I'm really grateful to be joined today by Dr. Mark Prince OBE, former light heavyweight world title challenger. Yep. So we start in our magical words of dream it, believe it, become it. Come on up. Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about today, Mark.
100%, bro.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I can see in the background, I can see your beautiful son, Kayan Prince, in the background there.
Yeah.
I can see that. And we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on. But before I even big up Daniel Grace for jumping on, good music, 2-1, 2-1-0. Yemi, Steve Bailey, Zach Katz, who else is on there? Rule Gell, so many people on there. Thank you very much for all jumping on your Sunday. And also, may I say a massive happy Phil Anser, how you doing, bruv? AAV Develops, E Francis, may I say a massive happy birthday to my beautiful, wonderful niece, Aisha. It's her birthday day. I can't believe she's just turned 22. Boy, I feel old now. Yeah, I really do feel old. But Mark,
when you're picking them term 36, bruv, that's when things start really getting feeling old, bro.
Yeah.
36, bro.
Well, yeah, man, that's a mad one. Yeah, how old's Ramel? Ramel is Ramel's 34 this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, but it is what it is. It is what it is. As we know, Tunde is deep in training camp now with Mr. Anthony Yard. So Tunde will not be joining us. But it was good because this week I did a bit of work with Boxer. And they were saying, who else could they get down? And I said, look, get Mark Prince, former light heavyweight. Man who knows the business, man who is who's a great orator of the fight game, and they called him Mark. And that's going to be shown. That's going to be out tomorrow. So you guys look out for that. But you've seen they've already started to post it.
Yeah, I just got a message from Ben Shallow, man. He just sent me a little clip.
Okay.
Just forwarded that onto my story, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, as we saw last night, we saw Jaime Munguia versus...
Ryder.
John Ryder. Yeah.
Ryder.
John Ryder.
John Ryder.
Out in the States. What were your thoughts of that fight?
My thoughts were that he just met his match. Got outmatched. This guy just looks strong. This guy looked like, I'm not going to let you bully me, push me back, hold my ground, break you down. And punch for punch, this is what was going on right now. Because from the bell went in the early rounds, from round one and two, fireworks.
Mm.
I weren't measuring up and sizing up with no jab or nothing. They was letting go punches from early on. They both had bad intentions.
You know what? I'm going to be real with you. Because I saw Jaime Munguia, because he was WBO junior middleweight world champion, right?
Yeah.
Now, he's moved up two weights. I think it was Jemachenko. He had some barn burning of a wicked bad boy fight last year.
Didn't he have no fights in between? He just kind of shot up to that weight?
No. He's had fights in between.
I mean weights at that weight in between.
Yeah. He's had fights in between, but he's moved up in the weights, yeah.
Okay,
but,
cool.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'm saying is this, is like, when I was watching him,
yeah,
I'm thinking to myself, you know what I mean? I rate John Ryder. You know what I mean? John Ryder put in a great performance against Canelo, right?
Going he'd do better than this Mongai dude.
Yeah, well, Mongai did better than Canelo because Mongai stopped him. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, John Ryder, apparently now he's retired. And I think if it is, it's still going to be a great loss because I like John. But
100%.
I'm so happy for him. You know what I mean? Because between this fight and also the Canelo fight, he's bought a beautiful house now. He's, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
If you think about it, he was very, very unlucky. What was that 4 years ago now? Very unlucky against Callum Smith when he fought for the WBC super middleweight world title.
Yeah.
He was very, very unfortunate not to get that decision.
Always brings us great fights, right?
Yeah, he comes to give it, Mark.
Yeah. Really? You know what I mean?
He comes to give it. So because now that he is no longer, like you're saying, like apparently he's like he's called it a day, I'm absolutely gutted for him. Mm. But I'm not that gutted because he could have. Yeah. We've seen so many stories of guys who retire from the game and end up penniless and everything else like that.
Nothing to show for, right?
Exactly. He's not one of them. He's left the game financially rewarded, brains intact, beautiful missus, beautiful children, and you know what I mean, and God bless him. But that was, that was a proper fight, man. That was a proper fight. Yeah. I mean, so whatever John does from that one, I wish him all the best.
Yeah, 100%. One guy's sharp, one guy's strong, and you know, I think he could be a champion again.
Yeah.
Another weight division.
Well, straight away, Jaime Munguia is calling out for Canelo.
Why not?
Now, Canelo.
That's a Canelo type exciting fight, isn't it? Look at the styles.
Canelo will bruck him up. I don't care, man.
Yeah, Canelo will bruck him up because he's not there, but it's going to make for an exciting fight while it's going on, right?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But you know what? As much as he's calling for this Canelo fight, I don't know if it's going to happen because Canelo's now signed with PBC, Al Heyman.
Yeah.
And Munguia is with Golden Boy. And even though they do crossover fights, but you know what Al Heyman's like? Al Heyman's like, we got the Golden Goose. And we're going to keep everything in-house. You know what I mean? Because allegedly now, Canelo's meant to fight the Abachalo brother, right? That's meant to be the next move for Canelo. But, you know what I mean? We wait with bated breath to see what's going to happen.
I don't think anyone's that really excited about the Charlo brothers. One of them kind of just represented the other brother on some moist level.
So, but Mark... The middleweight one, he's a problem still, you know. Trust me.
Yeah.
The middleweight one's a problem. He's a problem.
Do you think he's gonna show more heart than what the brother showed?
You know what I can say is this, is like he will come to give it to Canelo. Because that's his style. He'll come to give it to Canelo. Yeah, I mean, not gonna turn around and say that he could be victorious or anything else like that, but he will actually come out to fight to say that he wants to go and stick it on Canelo. That's what I do know. You watch his fights, that's what he's unbeaten fighter as well.
That's what we want to see, especially from guys that are always giving it the large.
Yeah. You know what I mean? 100%. 100%. Well, we had that. And also, don't know if you saw last night, Siobhan Clark, the cruiserweight. I don't know if you know Chev.
I missed that one with Siobhan Clark.
Chev Clark, he's a little rumbler. So Chev Clark got a good win against the Irish brother, the dual heritage Irish brother, who's a little rocker, former European champion. Yeah. And Siobhan just cracked it up. You know what I mean? Properly cracked it up. And like I'm seeing on Siobhan Clark's style, it's like, I know he's heavily influenced by Mike Tyson. Cause he's like, he comes in short squat, he wings in, he was throwing in some hellacious hooks to the body. I'm gonna send you the fight for you to go watch it, Mark. Some vicious hooks downstairs to the body, coming up through the middle. It's nice in the progression of Siobhan Clark and how he's going on. He's a nice, humble brother as well. That was neat from him. I'd like to see like where they're gonna position him now, because like He's been, since June of last year, he's been the mandatory challenger for the British title by the Border Control, right? So there's talk of him and Isaac Chamberlain, but because they're on different promotional bridges, I don't know how easy that fight would be to make. But
cruiserweight, you know, pretty juicy all around now.
But it is juicy because you got Richard Rackpore. He's meant to be fighting Chris Isaac Chamberlain, who's the British champ, well, British and Commonwealth champion, Isaac Chamberlain.
Yeah.
It's juicy. Craig Billingsmith is a WBO world champion after beating Lawrence Okolie.
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed by his the title fight he won against Okolie.
You wasn't?
No, I wasn't impressed by it because I know that you couldn't really get to see him fully. Because of the way and the mindset that Okolie had approaching that fight, it was an absolute stinker.
Why do you think Okolie fights that way, Mark? With your experience, why do you think he fights like that?
In boxing terminologies, we call them, we're pretty raw with it, and we call them scared fighters.
Okay,
that's not scared as in, oh, I'm really scared to fight. But they don't want to get into a dogfight because they're not really feeling that getting touched up and coming back. That's not their style. They want to hit you and hold or get away. And we know that sounds silly because that's what boxing is about, right? Hit and be hit.
Mm. But
in terms of your mindset, you have to have the mindset like, okay, I accept it. I know I'm in this game. I'm going to get hit. So I don't want my style to demonstrate that, because that seems to be the predominant force that's driving his boxing style. And that's why we come up with this scared fighter.
All right.
So it's just this style of him. He don't want to engage. He wants to stop you from throwing punches. So instead of using the skill set to move, slip, and all of that, he'll hold, and it ruins the fight, really, for both parties. The guy fighting you gets frustrated, the crowd gets frustrated, so it doesn't make for good fights, and it shows because Okolie, you know, evidently is not selling out on halls and tickets and whatnot.
So what do you think Lawrence Okolie could do to change his style to be more fan pleasing?
Number one, he has to have the person around him that influences him the most, whether it be a trainer or somebody in his team, has to be able to understand how his mind thinks. And the guy that's working with him in terms of developing his style has to start working on his fundamentals again. Because if you look at Okolie's fundamentals, all of it, if he focused on getting his skill set right, he'd be using his attributes in a much more beneficial way, right? But he's not. And that's because of how he's thinking. So he's not even thinking about how, wait, hold on a minute. I don't need to hold this guy. I could pop this guy off with my, keep him at the end of my jab, use my feet to move around nicely. And that's what a really good planner, trainer would work on with him. Say, look, Okolie, work on your feet. Look how the hitman used to move. He was rangy, tall, hence why he went from welterweight all the way right through to cruiserweight, right? And used his height. He used his range. Cody could be absolutely dangerous. I would love to get hold of that guy and work with him. My friend, he would be an absolute terror. Keeping man outside, throwing that straight right down the pipe, coming back with the left hook, going back on the straight right again, being total charge of the fight tempo, the punch output. It'd be fantastic, bro. And just while I'm working on that, we work on the mindset. What thoughts does he have about being here? The confidence he has about handling punches himself. So we'd have to go through some training and mindset strategies that will help him go through a paradigm shift. That's what he needs to go through.
Because, like, Lawrence Okoli is still highly ranked. There's talk now that Richard Rappaport is going to end up fighting Chris Billings-Smith in a few months' time.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about March for that fight.
That'd be beautiful because as soon as he got that title, Rappaport must have been rubbing his hands saying, yes, boss, my title.
Well, Rappaport's beaten him before. Remember, like, they fought a few years back and Rappaport beat him.
Yeah.
But what I am going to say is this is a new and improved Chris Billings-Smith. Even though, and this is no disrespect to Chris Billings-Smith, Chris Billings-Smith did not impress me in his last fight out. I don't know if you watched his last fight against Maskinev. I don't know if you watched that fight. Like, yeah, he was behind on points and it was like Maskinev just kind of punched himself out kind of thing. And then Chris stayed with him and started banging him to the body. But I don't think that you can take those kind of chances if he was going to fight Richard Rappaport, because we know that even though, like, when they fought before, it was a vicious fight. I remember that fight. Yeah. That was on the undercard of Dillon White. At the O2, and that was a proper we're gonna have it, and that's mad because that was 2019, that fight.
How much improvement's gone on with each fighter since then? I've really seen Rappaport's improvement.
You've seen his improvement, have you?
Yeah.
Well, I would say, like, with Richard Rappaport, I think now he kind of believes in himself. I'm not disrespect him in any way, but he was kind of a little.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I don't know, he used to fight kind of frightened. Like, he'd throw shots, he would be blinking and stuff like that. But I think now, especially after his last fight, all right, he just looked more contained, looked more confident, looked more purposeful in the work that he was doing. So especially like how he would stand and like he would throw the jab, but the jab was thrown with immense confidence now. So yeah, you know what I mean?
He seems like he's got like a really good team that he's settled with and working hard. I don't know, maybe it just looks that way on social media, but that's how it kind of comes over to me.
Well, you know what? You know, I don't. I tend not to fall into the social media traps.
Yeah.
Where everybody's. Yeah, I mean, because any, you know, it goes, Mark. Anybody can look good. Anybody can look good for 30 seconds on pads.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could have did a little pretty patty pads or whatever. Not anybody can look good for that duration of time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't. I tend not to, but it's kind of weird because, like, how the world is now. As much as we kind of dog social media now, fighters are more engrossed with social media capabilities and how many likes they get and things like that. Right. It's also a fact where when we watch it, yeah, when we watch it, we realize, like, if you don't have that side to it, yeah,
yeah,
in your social awareness or how people gravitate to you is going to be a bit different. You could be a brilliant fighter, but no one don't know about you. And, like, I think with social media now, it's helped a lot of people raise their profile. But sometimes we get garbage fighters.
Big time.
Yeah, yeah. Boosting up themselves on, like, their Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm like, come on, man. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
What do you think about Riyad Paul? When you watch him, do you see a future world champion?
Yes. You know why I do? I'll tell you why I do. Oh, sorry. Mr. Two Blesser said, Mark Prince, you was a joy on TalkSport last night. Thank you, sir. Oh. All right, big up Two Bless. I'm saying, like, When we watch Richard Riyad Paul, I think sometimes when I'm seeing Richard, because he is that guy. Remember, he did the what campaign did he? He did some big campaign. I think like Versace. Done a Versace campaign because he models, right?
Yeah.
And as much as we look on that and say, well, you should just be solely concentrating on fighting and the. No, it's working for him. Didn't you see, like, there was a picture of him and Madonna? Do you see that? Madonna sat on his lap.
Yeah, it works, bro.
Old crusty Madonna. I don't know if you've done a thing with her.
I don't know about Madonna on my lap.
Yeah. But, when she got up, she left dust, bro. But what I'm trying to say is, like, he's doing whatever he has to go and do, and God bless the youth for doing that. But, you know, he's improved. And the one thing about him is, like, there's talk about Opajaya, yeah? Jai Opajaya, the lineal cruiserweight champion, yeah? And at cruiserweight. And this guy's a monster, right? You saw what he done to Jordan the other day. You see, he's just a killer. The youth.
The Jai is a beast.
I'm telling you.
Whoa. His mentality coupled with his boxing skills, oh my days.
Yeah.
Fury and the man them call him in to do some sparring.
He went home after 5 days.
Oh, you hear all kind of stuff going on with the sparring about he kind of posed a lot of problems and stuff like that. No, I don't know how true it is.
Al Kulia says, Spencer, good evening, gentlemen. Spencer, you said that Boazzi is caught in between styles. Is it down to the fighter or the trainer? I'm going to explain to you. I explained this the other day, and you can look on the thing that me and Mark did for Boxer, but if you want to hear the reels, you've got to be on here where you are right now on the Fighters Right. The reason why I say that he's caught between styles is because he's naturally, if you look on Boazzi, so we're going to have to change this up because we're going to talk about this and the light heavyweight division, how it's thriving right now. And Mark, don't you wish he was fighting right now in Great Britain?
Oh, such a great time, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So much opponents in the British ranking to just be messing with. I'd love to be in the mix, bro.
I'm telling you.
Just worry your mindset.
Right. If you look on Joshua Boazzi, and I've watched every single one of Joshua Boazzi's professional fights. I've been to all but about three of his fights that I haven't been to, the one out in the States and a couple that he's had over here I haven't seen. But I've always watched his fights. He's a local lad. And I'm saying he's caught between styles because he wants to be that thug, the brute, aggressive man. But he also wants to have longevity in his career because he's an educated guy. And he realizes, like, right, if I continue fighting like this, right, I could get found out. Just at the time, he fights some French brother on Sky. And the French brother kind of hit him with some shots, hurt him. And I was like, the next day he phones me up and he's like, we're talking. I said, you know what? I'm going to be real with you. The training that you're doing with these guys is not going to complement you in years to come. So I'm on the phone and I'm speaking to Virgil Hunter. And I said, hold up a second, Virgil. 1 second. And I connected a freeway phone call with him and Boatsy. And they're talking. I said, Boatsy, I've got someone who wants to have a word with you. So Boatsy's there sitting to me, sitting like, well, who's this going to be? You must think like it's going to be a fan or something. I said, no, I've got someone to speak to. And I line him up with Virgil Hunter. So him and Virgil start talking. And Virgil is a very accomplished man in the game. He's a very humble man. He's a nice, nice man. So Virgil was like, you know what? Thank you so much for linking this up, Spence. Anything comes of it, you know, I'm not going to forget what you've done. Because he said, I rate this kid. I think this kid could go very, very far. So then Joshua Boatsy goes out to America, does a stint with him. And then they gel and they start working. Now, the reason why I'm saying he's caught between styles is because even before going with Virgil Hunter, there's times in fights where you see him doing the Roy Jones, where he's tapping the boot and throwing off shots. That's not your style of fighting, bro. Right? It's not your style of fighting. Your style of fighting is brute aggression, and you're very quick, but you need to tighten up on your defense. So when I'm saying he's caught between styles, I think he's caught between styles because, and everybody knows, so I'm not speaking out the man's business, like sometimes Joshua Boatsy has a nervous disposition, right? Prior to the fight. But as soon as that bell goes, then he switches it up and he's coming to be in a rockers. So I'm saying when it comes to him, that he's caught between styles, maybe because he wants to show homage and respect to the past greats like Andre Ward, like Evander Holyfield, right? Or him mentally is stuck between styles because he's a kid that's kind of about. He wants to have a rockers with you. That's how he is. So I'm saying you can have the rockers, but you should be able to say you're doing that, but you're doing it in a technical way. So if you can do that, then I believe that way he can get longevity in his career. You know what I mean? Because the kid can fight. But I don't know. How do you see it, Mark?
I don't know. I think that a lot of the times we're trying to find a trainer that is going to be able to build us into this great fighter because they've got a name. And that's why I think a lot of fighters are looking for these kind of big name trainers because they think that that's going to make the big difference in their life.
Mm-hmm.
How much difference I'm not getting onto no one because I respect Virgil Hunter, but it's just a question. How much difference has Virgil Hunter made since he's come into Boatsy's training camp and his life? And what is the difference between them guys now and how he was performing before?
I'm going to be real with you, Mark, right? If we were to look at what difference Virgil has made with Joshua Boatsy by fights, by what I'm not going by how he's performing in the gym, yeah. I'm going by fights here. Please. I'm saying he hasn't made much difference. Right?
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what you thought. Because
no, I'm saying that. He hasn't made much difference. But maybe that's also got a lot to do with he's been upped in the antes in who he's fighting now, because people don't give Craig Richards the applause that Craig Richards is a good fighter.
Really good fighter.
Right, Craig.
I'm sure that the people listening on your platform feel that way about Craig as well.
Right. You know what I mean? Craig's a good fighter. So, but Craig gave him a run, and Craig hurt him as well in that fight. Right?
Yeah.
He hurt him.
I was at ringside for that, and at one point I was like, oh my gosh.
All right then.
He's gonna go.
All right then. I was fortunate to you know what I mean, I watched that at home. And when I was watching that, I'm saying to myself as I'm watching it, like, is it the fact you ain't been given a chance to get the improvement fights because you're fighting a Craig Richards now? You're not fighting, you know what I mean? Thank you very much, Al. Craig Richards is world class, without a doubt. Nobody could ever turn around and say that he's not world class, because he's world class, because he gave Bivol a very good fight. The same Bivol that
say about Buatsi then. If Buatsi's gone, hung out with him, got hurt by him, came through it, and got the edge.
Yeah. So then now we've got to look at it and say, then what else is for him to do? I think the advancements of him going to Virgil Hunter, we're not going to see it now. We're going to see it in a few years' time. But what I'm saying is we should also look at the fact that Buatsi hasn't been that active.
That's
correct. He's been very inactive. And that's not a good thing for a fighter. You know that, Mark, yourself.
Yeah, 100%. And I was going to say, before you went over to inactivity, do we know if Virgil has a specific plan, just like a manager comes into a football team and he has to have a vision and a plan for that team? And do we know if Virgil's got that for Buatsi? Because some of these big name fighters, they're moving around with different fighters, and I find it difficult to see how you can really put all your eggs into me and build me, build a vision with me, and move me forward at the rate that I need to be moved forward, and invest that time in me that I need. I think that all kind of throws things in the balance as well, and can influence my progression as a fighter. I really reveled in sticking to my trainer. I had a close relationship. He was like a father figure to me. He taught me everything, changed my style completely. If you watch me when I was an amateur, I didn't really have a guard. I'd be looking to put man to sleep. I would be able to box game backwards, forwards, whatever. I was just freestyling, right? With Carly now, he was looking at a long-term vision with me as a world-class fighter and showed me that you can't get away with that all the way through the levels and stages. When you're hanging out with world levels, you're not going to be able to. So you're going to have to change that from now. So he had a vision and a plan for me. Basically, that's what I'm saying.
And step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, but if we remember, like, back then, yeah? What year did you turn pro?
I turned pro
92.
93. 92 was my amateur season.
Yeah, 92. Yeah, 92, you just started smashing up everyone in the ABAs. Yeah.
I just came in just to see if I had illusions of grandeur. That's what I came in for. Nothing else. I just said, am I talking shit or not? And the only way I'm going to know is not if I go in with the novices. You know, I've never been in the fight game. I said, what's the biggest competition you got here? And someone said, the ABAs. But they said, that's not for you, because you've got to fight all the best fighters in the country. I said, well, that's my whole idea. That's the only way I'm going to know whether I'm just chatting shit or not. Or I'm just, you know. So I just went straight in after three fights. I had three, four fights, and then said, I'll get me into the ABAs. And that was the limit. Like, you had to have at least four fights to enter the ABAs. So I just went straight in, and then boom, boom, man started dropping asleep when I was hitting them. But mind you, I got knocked down in my first fight.
Well, I remember when you knocked out Chris Oko. And Chris Oko was like our club captain at the Lynn. And John Sims, our old trainer, said, yeah, this boy Mark Prince is a killer. I'm saying, like, then you went on, you dealt with Monty Wright from the Repton. Monty Wright was a bad boy. He was a golden boy. And you broke up Monty Wright as well. I said, nah, this guy Mark Prince is serious.
Yeah,
I remember Mark Prince used to wear dark glasses when he walked around in the York Hall. I said, look at this brother.
Listen, do you know what it was? I was straight road. I came into this like, do you know what? I banged my night on road. So let me, I reckon I could do that in boxing. And man was laughing like, bruv, that's road. This is boxing. You can't do that. But they didn't realize that from when I was a kid, my dad was a boxer, a professional boxer from Guyana, and made me go running with him and train with him from when I was 8. So I was getting some hardcore treatment, boxing my older brother and all that. So boxing for me and fighting was second nature. Like going to school, having a fight, coming home was a part of me. Like talking about lunchtime, oh, you got to have lunch now. I reveled in fighting. So me pitting myself against another man was what I did. That's how I grew up. Whether it was with a skinhead boys or man calling me nigger on road or whatever it was, I was all up for it. So I grew up. I went in the ring, I carried that mindset in the ring, and that's where probably people felt that powerful energy where I'm going to do some damage. And, you know, they just felt like, man, this guy's a little bad man. But really, I weren't me. I was a nice guy.
Well, it was back then, boy. Them was the days. But like I'm saying, right now in the lightweight division in the UK is bubbling with some great fights. Like this Danaziz Boatsy fight, because like not a lot of people are giving Danaziz the props that he should be getting. This guy has done every single conceivable thing asked of him to do. He's done it.
I'm so proud of him.
He's done it.
He's come up old school.
Proper.
How many fighters now are coming up old school? You have to respect that to the point where I'm willing him. Like, I want him. I don't want nothing to mess this up. I want him to go all the way. British, European, next Commonwealth. I want him to go all the way. I'm excited about what Danaziz is doing.
Come on.
I love Boatsy's style. I love what Boatsy's doing. Do you know what I'm saying? I've been a big fan from day one. It's like, oh, no, don't put two of my best guys together. But I know that's what boxing needs.
Yo, we're grateful to be on The Fight Is Right for the first time. This is the first podcast you've been on. Easy as if, right, the guy from up north who's doing some great things with, is it GBM boxing promotion?
GBM Sports, that's the one.
Yeah, GBM Sports. You know what I mean? Doing some great stuff. You got, like, was it this next week on the 8th, is it?
9th of
Feb. 9th. Right, the 9th of Feb. You've got a couple championship fights going on. You've got a European title fight. You've got a couple, like, little local ding-dongs as well with the rivalries, what's going on right now. You're doing some really good stuff, and you are this man is the first ever Pakistani boxing promoter the UK's ever produced. How does that make you feel, Izzy?
Yeah, first of all, Spence and Mark, great to be online with you guys, man. I've known about you for years, man. You've done so much for the game, man. You know, before when I was boxing amateur pro, and I've heard about you and to see you on the TV, and you've done a great job, and you keep pushing. I appreciate you having me on. Yeah, listen, every day as it comes. You know, I've been in, people think I'm a flyby. I've been in this game 21 years. You know, I've boxed amateur professionally. I've coached, I've managed, I've matchmaker, and I'm a promoter. We do it different. We've got a good team. We've got a good vision. We bring it our style, and we've made a lot of noise, you know, with the 2 years. Just a kid from humble beginnings has done. We've done all right. We're pushing and pushing hard, and we've got a massive year, inshallah, God willing. This year's a massive year for us, yeah. And GBM Sports is going to be a recognised promotion outfit across the UK.
So you've got Lee versus Jones for the European, right?
No, for the European, we've got Thomas Asamba versus Elie Konki. Thomas Asamba was in the 2012 Olympics. He was an African brother who had a bit of an issue with the migration thing, and he's got a deep story. Elie Konki is a French boxer who's also a 2016 Olympian. So that's
wow.
It's a mandatory challenge, so it's a serious live fight. They're both hungry. There's a lot of rivalry in the camp. You know, they didn't want to turn up for press conferences. You know, it means business. The French guys are coming here to take the belt. Thomas Sommer's in front of his home crowd in Sheffield. You know, he's managed by Sonny Edwards. He's got a big camp behind him in Sheffield. Yeah, it's going to be a real fight, real 50-50 tear-up. I think it's going to be all out, guns blazing, middle of the ring, let it go, entertain the crowd out there.
Right, so because I've seen a couple of your stuff, like which comes up on like on social media platforms, where like when your boys are like at the weigh-ins and that, it proper kicks off and like it's proper rowdy. I'm enjoying it, you know. I'm enjoying it.
Spence, we're in the entertainment business, man. People are paying money out there to watch your tickets. They need to be entertained, and that's what we do. You know, I feel like we're a different kind of outlook to boxing promotion, new style kind of boxing promotion. You know, promoters have had a lot of stigma over the years for maybe not being 100% or whatever, not holding to the word. But, you know, God willing, I'm going to change that. I'm going to be true to the fighters, true to what I say. And, you know, we can't go wrong, because all you've got to be is true to the fighters, and fighters risk their life going through that ropes. As long as we keep remembering that, be true to them, only promise what you can deliver. And if you say something, you're going to stick by. And then there's not much we can go wrong with. And we just keep working. I've got a really good team. You know, people don't really know as much as they should do, but this year people will hear about us. They really will. They'll know what GBM Sports is about. We've got, you know, Spence, some of the people I've recruited from who've been in the game for a long, long time, probably best in the country at what they do, and they're now part of our team. And yeah, we're going to cause a real noise this year. And they're just
inshallah. Yeah, Fight Fan Live, thank you very much for the £2 donation. Yeah, listen, I'm saying like, you've got those fights there on your show, right?
Yeah.
And it's being shown live on TalkSport.
That's right, yeah.
How did that deal come together, Izzy?
Crazy, you know, Spence, because, you know, TalkSport is one of the biggest sporting platforms in the world. Like, as a sporting platform, I don't mean a TV platform, when you put all your radio numbers together and everything. And they kind of took to us. It wasn't like we went searching for somebody that they like what we're doing. They've seen what we're doing, seen the drive. And I don't believe there's many promotion outfits at our stage anywhere in the country like us. We bring it different, you know. You haven't been to one of our shows yet, Spence, but you'll be hooked. So I don't want to invite you yet, because you'll never want to not come back to any other show. You know, we do it different. Honestly, we put a show on. We know boxing. We understand what the fight wants. And TalkSport kind of approached us and said, look, we'd really like to be part of you. We feel like you're the future of British boxing promotional. And they offered an unbelievable deal, real good commercial deal for us. Gives a platform to showcase our shows. Not only showcase the boxing, also push me as a promoter, push us as a brand. And yeah, I'm appreciative of them. They've been great to work with. So it's a great relationship. It's kind of come out of the blue. It's one of them, Spence. Most of 2 years ago when I started, everybody said to me, you're not going to last 6 months. You know, I heard it every single week. You know, you're not made for this. This is not for your type. And you know, and I heard it all. Some racist remarks, or, you know, you stick to doing this. I heard it all. But, you know, I kept quiet because I knew I've got serious faith. And I know I'm true to myself. And as long as you're true, you don't have to worry about any opinions whatsoever. People trying to think you can't do it. Now they're all coming on board and saying, oh, you're going to go all the way. I go, I told you that at the start, but you didn't believe me. And, you know, we just keep pushing, we keep praying, we keep working hard and being true to the fighters and true to the fans, because this is, we're in tough financial climate, and I don't want to be taking money off fans and we're not putting proper fights on. You know, I want to make sure the fans are getting value for their money, man, because then I'm true to myself. I can sit back and I sleep well and knowing that I've been true to the boxers, to the fans, to people out there. And that's what we'll keep doing. And just keep one step at a time, not get carried away, you know, and just enjoy the ride.
Do you think matchmaking's the key to what makes you...
Without a doubt. Mark, you know, when I first started, I was doing everything on my own. Matchmaking, calling the ambulance, putting the tables together, putting the ring together, calling Ringcraft. It was so much stress. It was unreal. But that's why you can't pull wool over my eyes. There's not a thing in this game that, and I Spence knows the guy who I've got. I'm going to give him a shout out, Al Siesta and Steve Lillis, who was at Old Box Nation. Spencer, Steve, they're like part of the matchmaking team, and they're brilliant. The pressure's off me, Mark. If they can't deliver a match, I don't need to worry. And I always say to the guys, we get the best people. What will be will be. This game's full of ups and downs. As a promoter, there's pressure. You don't, you know, it's only since I started promoting, I see, like, if I lose money on the show, nobody's going to come and say, Izzy, he is 10 grand. You've lost on the show. You don't see the pressure. You know, fighters phoned me night before, oh, we can't fight. And you know they're talking a load of rubbish, but you've just got to bite the bullet. But you know what? I have signed up for this. I understand the beast. I understand the kind of mindset. And I don't worry about issues because, listen, it's life. As long as we've got life and health, we'll keep pushing and keep going.
Right. That's wonderful. I just want to commend you. I know how tough it is to build any business, much less the boxing business.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you've been in it a long time. You know, when I'm involved in properties or other businesses, you know, you're investing in an asset and you get something back here. You could put so much in and the fighter could, for whatever reason, think, I'm going to move camps or somebody's offering £500 more. And it's, nobody's done it to me yet, but I always... See, if a fighter leaves me tomorrow, I'm never going to get personal because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they leave me. That's all it is. And as long as I've got that mindset, you don't eat yourself up. You don't start saying, he's done me over. Listen, it's just business. No, not much emotional is involved, really. We do the numbers. If it works, we'll be true. People can say what they want, but, you know, we know we deliver what we say. No, you know, we check, we ask the phone calls, and we're true to ourselves, and it's enjoyable then. And, yeah, there's people in this game that don't stick to what they say, but you don't have to lose your kind of integrity or your ethics just because you're dealing with people who are not right. Because, listen, we've got here so far.
And what's the toughest thing in the business? What would you say to other guys who are starting? What would you kind of
investment? You've got to invest hard, and you've got to have the bottle to put your money where your mouth is and roll the dice. And that's what I did, Mark. I put my own money in. Those rumors are, he's got Arab money, he's got this money. Listen, I played along with it. The bottom line is I invested my own personal money and played the game. And now I believe we're the fastest growing promotional company, easy in England, maybe in Europe. Nobody's moved as much as us in 2 years. A kid from Sheffield that nobody heard of. And, you know, we're making moves, serious moves, and we deliver well. I've got 22, 23 staff working on the night. I've got 11 full-time staff. And we're pushing hard. We're going to have 8-9 shows up and down the country. And, you know, we're going to go all out. And what will be, Spence knows spiritually what kind of guy I am. I don't argue with destiny and faith. And it makes the job easy because you just go, you push, and you just keep true and entertain. And, yeah, I'm grateful. You know, every single day I'm grateful.
Find a lot more Asian fighters wanting to get involved in boxing because they've got an Asian promoter at the head of
things. Yeah, they kind of shocked. I go up and down the country and they're like, they didn't know we had a Pakistani. But, you know, Mark, me, I'm just like, obviously, I'm from a Pakistani background. I'm very proud of my heritage, and, you know, but I just roll with, if you're right, you're right, and that's it. And, you know, and I don't watch that, me, Mark, you know, whether you're black, green, purple, and if you're right, you're a good one. And that's just how it goes. And I've been in business a long, long time. I've been around tricky people who probably not been right side of the law. I've not come from, you know, pen pushing background, but I've walked away from a lot of things. And just to get here is a massive achievement for me. I got thrown out of school, got thrown out of college. You know, they said I was never going to do anything. And my dad was just obviously, you know, just a taxi driver, really. When I say just a taxi driver, great for me. Dad did so much for me. Yeah. I was never going to ever do all. So for me to be up against it and people doubting you, you just become second nature. And it just kind of, it kind of gets me up for it, really. I enjoy people saying I'm not going to do anything and enjoy people doubting us because it kind of puts that oomph in you and it gets that bit between your teeth and think, we'll show you the levels. And just to make friends, enjoy it. And if we make a few quid...
You're going to make more than a few quid because you're...
Well, Izzy, I've seen you about on loads of things. And like, our major subject for this is like the light heavyweight division right now. And the major fight that's coming up next week, no doubt you'll be down there, is... the Joshua Boatse, Dan Aziz fight, or Dan Aziz, Joshua Boatse fight, because they're actually fighting for Dan Aziz's British title. Even though Joshua Boatse held that a few years back, but it's also for that. Dan Aziz was the current European champion, but he relinquished the crown. I think, how do you see that fight going? Is it because
Dan's a very good friend of mine. I really like Dan. I think he's done unbelievable where he's come, and he's always produced, always been bitten off, and he'll come against it, and he's a tough, tough guy. But, you know, Boatse's a slickster who can also have a go as well. And I know they're good friends. And this is a close one to call. I'm not playing political and sitting on fence here. It's a close one to call. Really is. Who's going to turn up? Is Dan Aziz going to really be able to put the pressure on and put it on his, which I think he's got to do. Obviously, you know, Dan Aziz's style is not sit back and he's got to really put him on his back foot. And can what's he handle that pressure? Is he going to be able to box and move around and move pivot around him, knock him about? But listen, it's a close one. It really is. They're the kind of fights, generally not being politically correct, I don't know which way it's going to go. I won't like to pick a winner. It wouldn't surprise me if it went either way. But obviously, I'll be rooting for Dan Aziz. He's not just a good friend of mine. He's been around for me from the start. So I'll be rooting for him. But Boatsy's, I've been a big fan of Boatsy, you know, for ages. And his boxing IQ is unbelievable. Slicks to a different level. But yeah, a great fight. I'll be there. And hopefully be in Saudi the week after. 2 weeks after that for the Usyk and Fury fight.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going out to Saudi for that?
Yeah. I'm going out. Obviously, people out there don't know my story too much, but I sparred with Tyson Fury when I was amateur in Sheffield because Pete Fury used to bring him to Sheffield and he was in GB team. So I've done a few rounds with him. You know, not many boxing promoters can say this. They sparred with the heavyweight champion of the world, eh? I've been there, done it. So I've sparred with Fury. I've known Pete Fury. He's a good friend of mine. So, yeah, I'll be going out there watching Usyk, which I think is going to be an absolute great fight. And enjoy all the kind of event out there and enjoy the kind of atmosphere of Saudi, which I think, you know, it looks like big boxing.
Nah, it's incredible, bro. Trust me. I was at the last Fury fight after big up Goldstar, Spencer Brown, and the Team Fury. They really looked after me.
Who you got, Mark? Who have you got for the Fury Usyk? Who do you think?
All day long. My suitcase full of money. Blam. Take that on Fury, bro.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100.
Yeah.
I think he's taking care of business. He's going to step up to the plate. I don't think he's going to allow Usyk to get any footing in the game.
Yeah,
I think he's going to keep Usyk on the back foot. And I think he's going to go to his body.
Yeah. He's huge. Fury's huge. You know, when he's in the ring with him, you're like, wow. I'm 6'3", 6'4", whatever. And I've got a decent range. I remember seeing him. I think, how can he hit him? And this was before he even turned pro. I knew about the Fury hype then. And I knew them. He's huge and he's got great boxing IQ. It moves around unbelievable. Moves around like a middleweight. And I think that performance on Garnu, you're not going to see that Fury. Listen, they've got too smart. They're too old in the two for that. And they've been around too long. They know the game. They're going to come 100%. But Usyk, listen, who knows? Usyk, I rate him as well. I think the angles he's rising, the way he picks and moves them angles, you know, he could make you look average. I think for a few rounds, he might make Fury look average and that, but how long can he sustain it? Fury's a big man. I think he's going to lean on him. And
How do you think Ngannou, Joshua is going to go?
I just think Joshua's got that bit between his teeth. You know, since the bit of stick he's had in the last few years, I just can see Joshua taking him out 4 to 6 rounds. I think he's got real explosive power. I think Ben Davison, I know Ben, Ben's a good friend and all. I've worked with him. I've done stuff with Ben. I think he's took him back to bases. And you can't make somebody who's a puncher move around and dance on his back foot. And the same way you can't make somebody who's a dancer and back foot make him a puncher. It doesn't work. You've got to stick to what you're best at. And he's gone back to Joshua that excited us, Joshua that sold them stadiums out, Joshua that won them world titles. And I think you're going to see that same Joshua again. And as soon as he gets the chance, he's got that killer instinct between him and he's going to take him out. And there's one person who's an unbelievable finisher is Joshua. You know, people give him stick, but I won't want to come up against Joshua. If I had a choice of come up against Joshua or Fury, I'd rather go with Fury because Joshua, you know, when he gets you on them rope, he's going to take you out and he's taking your head, legs and everything out. He's an unbelievable finisher, clinical finisher, and got that explosive, nasty power about him. So I think he's gonna take him out within 4 to 6 rounds.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're gonna see a real Joshua. You're gonna see that nasty Joshua about him and his.
All right, what's your call, Mark, on that fight?
Ngannou is such a lovely warrior. He's so sure of himself. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's got. Then you've got AJ, who's just building back his confidence, but not quite there yet, despite what everyone says, because these guys he fought, he would have wiped them out. They came up on journeyman levels. He would have smoked them. Mm. It would have been different fights, but that's only because his mind was different then.
Yeah.
So he's still not quite pulling the trigger. He's still not quite pulling the trigger properly. he can't go in the ring with Ngannou with none of that. He needs to be focusing more on what's going on with these cogs in his head.
Yeah, yeah.
His boxing ability. Ben ain't coming in to teach him nothing. Ben ain't coming in to show him nothing. AJ's got what it takes. He's fit. He's strong. He throws good combination punching. He's not going to really improve that much on his defense. He worked on that for the Usyk fight. Got a little bit better. We saw good skills. We didn't match up enough to be able to beat Usyk. He's to fight Ngannou now. It's all this. That's all he needs.
Mm.
Forget about the old AJ. Just focus on what you need to be thinking, the mind space you need to be in to go in and fight this guy.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting somebody who ain't playing with you, who don't have confidence issues.
Yeah.
And knows he's got power and can knock out anyone. And he's gassed because he dropped heavyweight champion, a lineal champion.
Yeah, yeah.
One that everyone believes is really the unified champion. It's only a matter of time before that happens.
Interesting. Interesting.
You know what? You know what fight that's gone underneath the radar that we've kind of forgotten to speak about? Is like on the same show as Dan Azizz, Joshua Boatse, is Adam Azim fighting Enoch Paulson, right? The in defense of his European title. Now, this Paulson brother is unbeaten in 14 fights. Adam Azim is unbeaten in 10 fights. What's your call on that fight?
He talks to me. I'm a big fan of Adam Azim. Really, I'm a believable talent.
It's got nothing to do. It's got nothing to do with him being Pakistani. No, it's got
no.
I'm just working. Just trying to check out. That's got nothing to do with it. No.
No, nothing whatsoever. I've always been, right. Always been a big fan of the brother. What's he called? He's stepping up. He's got to mix it now with that level, hasn't he? You know, he's all right putting these guys out. We've got records like you're talking about. It's now what is he going to be like when he don't put them out? That's what I want to see. I want to see what Adam Azim's like when he doesn't take them out. Because, you know, punches normally can take people out, but if they don't, sometimes they just rely on that one knockout punch, they could start looking average. This is why he's got to have that ability to make sure if he doesn't take... Because when you start upping the levels, you're not going to whack them and fall them over. They're going to be able to handle your power. And that's when your boxing skills and what you're about is really going to show. And I think that's what you're going to have to start seeing with Adam Azim. And this is a step up for him. You know, just, you know, they're really pushing him on all. They're really Sky and Boxer really think he's going to go all the way. I've spoke to...
Yeah, because this Enoch guy that he's fighting, he's more of a skill star. He's not a hard puncher. He's like, only got like 5 KOs out of his 14.
I don't know too much about him, Spence.
I've seen him a couple times. He's from Denmark.
What I've seen of Adam... And I've seen it a few times. You've seen it with people who got real push. Sometimes they think, right, I'm going in there. That fighter's mindset, I'm going to knock him out. But he just needs to sometimes. He fought a Nicaraguan last time I watched him. I think it was Manchester. And that would have, like, he took him to points. The only one he took to points, he didn't knock him out. And that, for me, that would have, I said to him, he would have been disappointed. I said, that's the kind of fights you learn from as a fighter. You need them fights. It's all good knocking them over, yeah, but what you need to do when you're in a tough fight, when you don't knock them over, and you've got to show something different, you've got to show back box on your back foot, you've got to show a bit of courage and stand there in the pockets now and again. And there's different dimensions to fighting, isn't there? There's different things, but he's a great talent. And
I would say, the thing when it comes when you're dealing with Adam Azim, I think he's still a young kid, he's still young. And what will happen is when you're banging out guys early on, you just feel you're young, it goes to your head. I don't care who you are. You're banging out guys. You're thinking, all I got to do is this. And then when those things don't happen, just like when he fought that the guy that went to points with, right? He's got to work more on his game. So he's going to find out like more of the versatility of what fighting is. But if he learns to relax, which I believe that he's doing now, and he learns to administer the jab in the way that he's doing, and he sets him up with the right hand. I'm going to be real. I've seen this Paulson guy fight a couple times. I believe like Adam should be able to knock this guy out simply because he's not a hard puncher, right? But Adam doesn't have to go looking for the knockout. I think if he boxes with an educational jab and applied pressure, I reckon he can knock this guy out I can also see him dropping it with a right uppercut because this guy, he's kind of open out. He stands, he's posting a stance, and he's got a wide stance as well. His legs are quite wide. I could see Adam dropping him with a right uppercut. Remember I told you this? Just remember.
So yeah, normally, I find guys...
I said he's a knowledge. We can't argue him, man. Spence, if you said it's the uppercut, it's going to be an uppercut, man.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. No, yeah. Come back to this, we'll see.
Sorry, Mark.
No, it's good, man. Normally, I find guys that who don't have a punch have something else.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're normally very durable.
Who don't normally, have, but guys who have a punch.
The guys who don't have a punch
are
normally very durable.
Yeah.
Something else to make up for what they don't have.
Yes.
And you might find that punches, you've got a great punch, they might be a little bit chilly.
Yeah. You know that. From what I've seen in years of sparring and up and down the country, I've seen that. I've seen that kind of thing and all where punches bang on. But Spence, it's been good to have you on. I'll be on here, man. The first kind of time we put on online. I appreciate you getting me on and supporting me. You've always been there.
Nah, bro. Listen, I'm gonna be down. Inshallah, I'm gonna be down for the show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, just get my hotel booked. I'm also gonna bring down my prince.
Are you bringing Mark?
I'm going to bring Mark as well. I'm going to bring Mark. Unfortunately, the thing about it is this. Because Tundi's got anti-yard fighting on the 10th, so unfortunately, Tundi won't be coming, but me and Tundi's going to come do your commentary. We'll just bust it up for you lot. You know what I mean? Trust me on that. You have never heard nobody on planet Earth be as so descriptive when it's come to, like, we do watch-alongs than Tundi Ajayi. Tundi's not here right now, but trust me, you'll see. But we're gonna for me and Tundi to come down. I'm gonna try and come down for this one. You know what I mean? I'm gonna try my best to try and come down to this one because I know my brother Ahmed Yakub's also sponsor you guys, right?
Of course, he's a big part of
let me tell you this now. That brother there is a beautiful human being.
Yeah, the real deal.
Right? No, he's you know what? He's genuine. He's genuine. I got so much love for that, bro. He's a good guy, man.
Joshua Usyk fight with Ahmed. Me and him went together and I did Umrah together, went to Medina together. So, you know...
Okay, Alhamdulillah.
With somebody, you really learn about them, what they're about and what mindset they got.
Yeah,
so
he's a proper guy, man. He's a proper dude.
And he's going to be there, yeah. And obviously, guys watching your page, and you get a lot of numbers, follow us on Instagram, GBM Sports, or Izzy Asif, Izzy_Asif on Instagram. And watch our show if you can't make it down there. February the 9th, live on TalkSport.
So it's on TalkSport on YouTube, right?
TalkSport YouTube, February the 9th.
Got that's two a big thing.
On. We've got three or four fights, genuinely, where the home side could lose if they don't turn up. You know, and that's what I'm doing as a promoter. We're not just putting guys out to roll over. You've got to deliver. You've got to perform. You've got to entertain. And you know, that's what we're going to do. So you guys watch it out there. Appreciate everything you're doing and all, everybody out there who supported us.
So what's your thoughts on developing your fighters?
If the fights
can be 50-50, how do you really get to develop fighters? Because I understand that what you're doing, and it's brilliant.
I think
it's excellent.
We want to move them at the right age.
How do you really develop them at the rate that you want them to be at? If all their fights can be 50-50, bro.
No, but you don't listen. You only get 50-50 at the stage when they're ready for it. You know, and it's all about matching the right stage, the right fight at the right time. But sometimes you've got to roll the dice a bit. So we might have somebody who's 10-0, but he's not really highly ranked. But we might fight somebody in the top 15 at EBU that we know will give him automatic top ranking. So it's about doing the right fights. I put a show on Reece Moore versus Hamid Gass. Reece Moore beating for that WBA Intercontinental title, Europe. He gave him a top 13 ranking in the world. Then he fought on a matchroom show, a box against Gary Cully. So we manoeuvred that. We know that a win like this would get him top 13. Therefore, people will start wanting him. And that's what about manoeuvring, right timing, right fight. And that's what, listen, I understand it. But I've got the best matchmaking team to make sure we do that, develop it. But I understand, listen, when you've been a fighter, you know, Mark, when you've been around the box, I understand it. I understand every single mortal percentage of emotion a fighter goes through. And that's what I feel makes me a little bit different as a promoter. You know, I bring it a bit different. And
as much as we love exciting fights, to have a fighter really have his chances of getting to the top, we need to be strategic at the same time.
Of course, we can't be all madness. Listen, come on. It's a business. Yeah. It's 100%. An asset for us, and we invest in this asset, and we've got to make it right. But at the same time, they've got to cut the mustard. They've got to be there. They've got to deliver. You know, we can't fake it. And, like, you know, back in the days, you used to get 25 and all, and you fought 5-6 persons same time. Boxing's changed. The world's changed. You can't do that anymore. Records, you know, people don't buy it. They know who you fought. They know what level you fought at. You know, when I was turning pro, nobody, this internet wasn't as much accessible as it is now. Now you can't, people just pull your records up on promoters and fans, and you can't fool like that. You've got to be the real deal to sing and dance. But yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Well, I wish you all the best, Izzy, as if. Thank you so much for blessing us on the Fighters Right.
I'm honored. Mark, obviously, I know what you've been through, what you're doing. I know your story, mate, and you're a real man. And you know, one day we're going to sit down and we're going to have a talk about our journeys. And we've all got a story and we've all got a reason. And listen, I'm there anytime you want, and I appreciate you guys supporting me. I know, Spence, how highly you talk about me in front of other people. They tell me, and it means a lot. And I remember the people who say it at the start, because it's all good when I've got a massive TV deal and big money coming in, big fights. You know, it's when people are backing you, when you're like trying to build yourself and giving you platforms to voice what you're doing. And that's what we're doing. You know, appreciate that. And I'll catch up with you guys soon.
Beautiful. Love, my bro. Izzy, as if the promoter of JMB Promotions, big up yourself. Looking forward to your massive show that you've got on February the 8th. February the 9th. February the 9th.
You're welcome, Sheffield. We'll show you hospitality, man.
Bro, I was just in Sheffield the other day.
We'll show you hospitality, man. Come on,
Yeah, seriously. I'm thinking about it.
The night, we've got your place. You relax, you come here. We'll show you South Yorkshire, man. We'll show you our man's around Sheffield Roll, man.
All right, bro. I'm gonna take you up on that.
No problem. Listen, I'll give you my word.
Have you got Naz's support down at your shows?
Yeah, Naz. He hasn't been yet, but Naz is a good friend of a friend, and I know him. And listen, we had a lot of support from Sheffield. You know, like your Kel Brooks, your Sonny Edwards, your Johnny Nelson. Listen, them man's Johnny Nelson. Listen, big up the man. Johnny Nelson has been my biggest supporter from day one. He told everybody from day one when I didn't even start. He goes, "Izzy's gonna cause noise." And Johnny, I've got a lot of time for him, and he's not just a friend. He's close to family, Johnny. I've got a lot of time for Johnny, and
he's a good man.
And all these guys, Dalton Smith, the fight family's been absolutely brilliant. Obviously, you've got a couple other promoters who are not that happy that we've caused havoc, but listen, we love them as well. It's not an issue.
Exactly.
We can go for a coffee with them, no problem. Whatever they want.
100.
Yeah.
Yes, King.
Okay. God bless. I'll pray for you guys and hope you all be keep.
I'll see you at your show, bro.
Yeah, man.
Thank you very much for blessing us, Izzy. Yes. Anyway, we're going to be wrapping up the show right now. Thank you so much, Dr. Mark Prince, for joining us on the show. Thanks to every single person that has been on the show today. Every like, every bit of money that's coming, every little thing that's happened that we've got today. I am totally, totally honored about that. And also, may I say, someone's just put up on here, Ali Frazier 2's 50 years ago today, but Spencer knew that. You're damn right, and I did. But what I'm going to say is this, is like, I'm looking forward to this Saturday. Hopefully the winner can come through successfully. And then, you know, there's talk already about Saudi coming up for Ante Yard and Callum Smith. But if that doesn't happen, I'd love to see Ante Yard in with the winner of this fight on Saturday on the Boxer Show. But you know what? I'm praying for everyone to have a fantastic week this week. May I say thank you to the guest of Izzy. May I say thank you to Dr. Mark Prince, OBE. You know what I mean? And Mark, keep on doing the fantastic work that you're doing with the Kion Prince Foundation.
I want to big you up, bro. Honestly, listen, guys, everyone listening online, I want to show Spencer so much respect. Yeah, I don't know, you lot don't realize how much commitment it takes to keep this platform going every week, to be able to deliver what he delivers to you lot. I watch the shows. I see the effort and commitment it takes to put in what he gives to you guys, the people that he brings on, the knowledge that he brings to you lot. So I want to salute you, Spence, big time. I've got mad love for you, bro.
Come on, man. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. When we started this 4 years ago, it was Tundi's idea. You know, it wasn't my idea. It's Tundi said, come, let's do it. Yeah. I was like, I ain't got time to go do no podcast no more. He said, no, come, let's do it. And then what happens is this, you do it and it just becomes like second nature because like in 4 years, we don't miss no times. There's certain times where I can't do the show, Tundi will do the show. Yeah. Certain times when Tundi's in camp, like he's in camp right now, so he can't divert energy.
So I want to big up both of you, bro. Tundi smashes it when he's doing it. You come on. When you're doing it, when you're both together. I love it, bro.
Thank you very much, Mark. It's been an honor that you've been on. And I will see you at the fight on Saturday, no doubt.
Bro, come on.
Ringside. Yeah, I mean, I'll see you at the fight on Saturday. Listen, fair play to Boxer. They're bringing out everyone. Everyone's coming out to the fight, you know. What I mean, like everyone, like Molder Comedians coming down, Slim, the rapper. They got quite a few people were coming down. Like, because they understand the intricacy of this fight, knowing that this fight's for the man's them. You get what I'm trying to say?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the man's them. So we're looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Who's that? Snaps has said, oh, yeah, Spence, you got to bring Mark in. What do you mean I brought Mark in? This week, last week, Mark was turned big superstar. He done Sky Sports. He done the boxer stuff that's going to come out as well. Yeah, man, I just phoned Mark and said, Mark, come. Because they were scratching their head like, who can we get? I said, are you mad? Mark Prince, there is nobody more qualified. And it's a light heavyweight fight. There's nobody more qualified or more articulated than Mark Prince to go do that. And he smashed it. You guys go watch the clip, what's going to come out. It's up on Insta and TikTok now already on Boxer. But it's funny. Yeah, it's funny. But just tune in. Make sure that you watch the fight on Saturday. Make sure it's we've got a very, very busy schedule. Make sure that you also tune in February the 10th, the return of the Beast from the East, Anthony Yard, for his return for 2024. Then the week after that, we got Usyk Fury. Then a month after that, we got Joshua Ngannou. We got so many fights that have been compacted into one area, and I'm just looking forward to that. But on that note, may I say, in the famous words of Baba Tunde Ajayi, dream it, believe it, become it. Coming up, peace. Two things. I wish that everybody has a fantastic, magnanimous week ahead. May it be blessed. May it be favorable. And keep on pushing forward. Peace. Two fingers. We out. Love, bro.
Live, love, and forgive.
Baby. Come on. I like that one. You know, I'm off with that. Love and forgive. Wicked. Thank you very much, Mark.
100%.
And yes, Manny, we are meant to be.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.